Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now. The value of coin increased by 5 cents today to $3.56. What is your coin worth today? Summer Breakfast.
21 after 7 on SEN Summer Breakfast. David King and Jack Heverin still to come on the McCafe menu. Ben Buckley, the chairman of North Melbourne, will join us in about 40 minutes from now. Brad Haddon will also join us a little bit later on. Live EPL, Liverpool 2, Leicester City 0 at halftime. And in the ATP Tour final in London, Dominic Thiem took the first set 6-4. Daniil Medvedev took the second 7-6. And it's one all on serve, locked away in the third. We'll talk Kevin Sheedy's article, My 12 Commandments, from the Herald Sun, very, very shortly as well. But we're very delighted, as always, very generous with his time, the CEO of the AFL Players Association, Paul Marsh, who joins us once again here on SEN. Paul, good morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Deal's done. It's nice, I guess, for the entire industry in many ways to have the CBA for next year locked away and we can all move forward.
Yeah, it is. It's been a difficult few months to get to this point, but yeah, it is nice to get it locked away. So having some certainty now for the players and the clubs and the rest of the industry is a good thing, and you know, we can all get on with other things now.
Come on, Marshy, how did you do it? How did you do it? A 3.5% effective cut over the next 12 months or so. It's a fantastic deal for the players. What was the major sticking point between yourselves and the AFL?
Oh, there's probably a few. I mean, I think there's so much uncertainty at the moment that, I mean, the AFL, you can't really rely on the forecast at the moment as much as they've given to us in good faith. So I think just trying to deal with the uncertainty, and the deal scales up and back depending on, you know, how we actually land next year, which is fair, and that's the whole purpose of having a revenue share agreement, is that the players share in the actual revenues of the industry, not the forecast. So, you know, we're comfortable with where it landed. It's something that we've been pushing for a number of years, and you know, this deal improves the structure of that part of our deal. And I think just, you know, our view has always been that the players are the product, as well as the labour, and you know, they should be looked after accordingly. So I think we landed in a really fair and reasonable place.
100%. Agree with you there. Can you just talk to us about the post-hub feedback from the players that you've been receiving? I mean, it's an unbelievable season, a really challenging period, and we asked a lot of those AFL players. Some handled it, some didn't. What's been the overwhelming feedback from the player group?
Yeah, it's probably a little different for different groups. I actually went up there myself for 5 weeks, and I met with all the groups, and you know, I think there's a direct correlation between how the teams went on the field and how they probably feel about it with respect to your question. So, I mean, I think, you know, the teams that, you know, Richmond, for example, are incredibly grateful that, you know, this season went ahead because ultimately they took out the prize for some clubs. And I think this was entirely predictable as it became clear that they weren't going to feature in the finals. It became a very, very long time away. And, you know, it was tough. It was a very restrictive environment up there. And I know there was some reporting down here that, you know, they were living the lifestyle up there, but it really wasn't. They were very restricted. And, you know, it was difficult for a lot of guys to do anything away from football, which is a mantra the whole industry has been pushing for a number of years. And that was taken away from a lot of players. So, look, it was definitely tough, but I think the young players liked it. I think the teams that went well were grateful for it. And for the teams at the other end, it was a pretty tough journey.
Couldn't agree more. We've heard a lot, just to get back to the collective bargaining agreement, a lot of argy-bargy about the whether the list sizes will be shrinking or whether we'll play more games. You know, you've got a desire, I think, to play more games per season. You know, maybe even if we can compress them, that would be advantageous. Where are you thinking the game will go in the next 2 to 3 years? Will we have less players on the list or will we have more games?
Well, they're not necessarily mutually exclusive, but I think certainly part of our initial proposal to the AFL, which we haven't really spoken about, was we wanted to have a look at the fixture. I mean, it was an opportunity for us to see whether there was a way to do things differently and better. And we've agreed with the AFL that we'll form a working group next year to look into that. And I think it's an exciting time for our industry as we explore, you know, potential changes that will see us into the future. You know, list sizes has always been one for us where I personally, and I think our organisation, are of the view that our job isn't to maximise the number of positions on a list, it's to get the right number. And, you know, we had a good discussion with the industry around this one. I think some would have liked to have seen less. We're comfortable with where it landed. I think we'll go through a similar process next year. And it is really dependent on the second-tier competitions as well and the ability to bring players up into the AFL lists from there. So, you know, that new competition is going to obviously evolve over the next 12 months.
AFL Players Association CEO Paul Marsh joining us on SEN Breakfast. Paul, we saw this year, by virtue of it having to happen, four-day breaks to get games in and to keep it happening. We've never seen it before. What's the feedback been from it? Is it something that players, based on this year, that they think that they could do on a semi-regular basis going forward?
Yeah, look, I think we probably need to get some formal feedback, but I think let's not lose sight of the fact that of a couple of things here. One is that there wasn't much travel for players within that, so I think that was a factor, because when you throw travel on top of it, 4 days becomes pretty taxing. I think also just there was a genuine fear from everybody that the season could be hindered at any particular point in time. So, you know, it was a calculated risk, I think, by everybody, including the players this year. So I think we're going to be a little bit careful that we don't just jump to four-day breaks, because the risk of injury, we believe, is greater. There will be travel, you would hope, into the future. So, look, we tend to keep an open mind with these sorts of things, but there are some barriers to jumping to four-day breaks.
Marshy, now that this little CBA is sorted out, you'll have the rest of the year off. Is that how it works?
Like you, Kingy. What are you doing up this early in the morning, by the way? When do you do that?
Hey, don't turn that around on the meat. What's next on the horizon? What are the challenges that are in front of you at the moment?
We've got an AFLW season coming up. I heard you talking about that a minute ago, and I think the challenges that have existed to the men will also exist for the AFLW players. So we've got to get that. We've got to get it fixtured. We've got to get that sorted. That's really important for us over the next little bit. And, you know, I think, as I'm sure you would have seen in the media release that went out on Friday, look, we've taken a cut to our business that now we need to have a good look at our business and see what we can do with the money we've got left. And, so we'll review our strategy and our structure off the back of getting this done. So they're probably the two main priorities.
Yeah, we were just talking before about the AFLW season. Would there be anything that would hinder starting it a bit earlier, given that tennis is now looking like it's going to push back if in fact go ahead at all, that sort of opens up middle, early January. Would there be anything that would really hinder AFLW coming forward into that spot?
Oh, I think there would be a few things that I can think of. I mean, the first one would be the AFLW players are not like the male players in that they have got jobs, most of them. So, you know, they plan their years out. And a lot of them will take leave, you know, without pay often, and they'll have done it for the period that it's been scheduled. So I think that's a potential barrier here. I think, you know, venue availability might also be an issue with cricket. I mean, that's one of the things, or cricket or other sports. I think they're the two probably that jump to mind, but it's a discussion that we'll keep having. And I think, you know, like we saw again with the men, we are trying to be as flexible as possible, because we want to try to get this season away with as few hitches as possible.
Bit to work through, no doubt. Paul, as always, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Good to chat, Jen. See you.
Paul Marsh joining us, the CEO of the AFL Players Association.
Killed him, hasn't he? Killed him.
Yeah, he has.
Done a great job.
We spoke about this last week, but when you look at a 3.5% reduction across the board for players versus 30% soft cap reduction, and we've seen the loss of assistant coaches and development staff and all that sort of stuff that don't look like they're coming back, Kingy. One is a long way apart from the other. It does make you wonder how that's happened.
Yeah, and that's just from a sheer financial point of view. But I think how they handled the hubs and what they would have had to deal with the players and the constant discussions going on and, you know, player demands, what they were looking for and what the clubs and the AFL were prepared to do and give up, and, you know, just to ease the tension, if you like, to create an environment where they could perform.
Yep.
The AFLPA played a huge role in that. They were there for a long time.
Yeah, they were. 100-plus days, yeah. Some of the teams that made it in. I think the other thing to take out of that was where Paul Marsh said that their job is to not maximise the amount of spots on a list, but to maximise the earning capacity of those on a list. So I think the days of we're going to see cuts this year, and it's going to be minimum 37 on a list as opposed to sort of 42, 43. I feel like those days might be done for the next little while, where it's 44, 45 on a list. plus rookies.
Yeah, well, plus rookies. I think it's only coming down by a couple, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's only coming down by a couple of players. I mean,
so each club must have a minimum of 37 players with a maximum of 44. The primary list must have no less than 36 and no more than 38.
But the 44 is down from 47, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's not a massive reduction. Eddie McGuire calls them the bread roll eaters. The guys that hang around your club, they never play senior football, but they're always on a massage table. They're always part of everything you do. You have to plan for them. You have to train with them, all those sorts of things. You have to cater for them. There are two or three guys on a list every year that you just know are not going to play.
For sure.
That are not going to play. And I think what we're trying to do is reward the guys who bring the crowds. So we should be, in effect, be able to pay Dustin Martin and Nathan Fyfe and Patrick Dangerfield, the absolute top end of our competition. They should get paid more. There's no doubt about that because of what they generate. And it's great to have lists of 44 and great to have lists of 38 senior AFL players or listed AFL players. But the facts are there's only about half a dozen that generate the product.
They're the ones you're going to watch, aren't they?
So they're the ones that need to be, in my opinion, remunerated adequately. And I'm still not even sure we're there. And some people will say, but these guys are making over $1 million, but they are generating so much money.
Maybe we're not there yet.
I don't think we are.
Maybe there's still more to come. We'll talk Kevin Sheedy's article after the news with Meredith as well. My 12 Commandments, the changes vital to sparking chaos. We'll explore that. We'll get your thoughts on it next here on SEM Breakfast.